at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Dene Métis author, photographer, poet, Tenille K. Campbell joins us in CFIR Radio Studios today as she currently occupies UMBC's writer-in-residence post. Hailing from English River First Nation, Saskatchewan, the 2017 book of poetry, hashtag Indian Love Poems, makes clever use of humor, explores sexuality, and shares stories that people are rarely privy to. It's won awards and reclaimed ideas of Indigenous sexuality. Typically residing in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, she's at UMBC for the next few months. Tenille, when it comes to your writing, there's an interest that you take in other people's stories. I mean, everybody has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to know a part of that story, I'm going to imagine, opens you up to a fair amount of inspiration for mm-hmm. some of your work. Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I should point out, like in my poetry, I practice what's called, I'll say, ethical storytelling. I make sure to tell my point of view of the story and my experience. I never try and tell the guy's or the person's point of view because I can't. And I don't want to take their voice. So in that process of like getting to know people, both physically, wink, wink, but also like emotionally, like because turns out I'm a talker and big surprise. And getting to know people, like, where are you from? Like, who all lives here? What are you interested in? Like, let's go eat. Let's go do this. All part of the process. And even, like, yesterday, I emailed one of the teachers here straight up, like, here's my phone number. Let's be friends. That was my entire email. And she wrote back, like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you reached out. And it was kind of funny because, again, it's like, how do you make community? How do you make friends? How do you get to know somebody? By putting yourself in a vulnerable position, I think, of admitting you don't know something. And we don't know a lot about the people that surround us, that sit with us, that walk with us. You know, we're in this giant, beautiful building, and there's hundreds and hundreds of souls and stories that I don't know. It's kind of invigorating. And there's also the fact that you're just a part of the story, you know? I've been writing a lot of land-based poetry now, actually, thinking about how, like, we pass through this place and, you know, do the trees remember us? Do the water remember us? Do, like, our ancestors who came before us remember us? You know, how does the land remember our story? And how do we remember the land? And it's just, like, this whole other concept of storytelling now.
Your land-based inspiration that you're exploring right now, do you have any hopes or goals while you're here on Kailitene territory, Prince George? In that regard, I should say.
Well, I've been thinking about land a lot because my mother and my grandparents used to live here back in the early 60s,
really?
70s. Yeah, my grandpa was one of the Métis who came over to help build bridges and roads. Wow. So they spent about 5 years here, I think, and up in Burns Lake too.
Okay.
So there's this whole idea of like coming back and like, you know, walking the same mountains that my grandparents did. It's four generations because my daughter's here now too. So where are we in that circle? And also, like, I'm from Saskatchewan. The mountains are such a mystery to me.
So you've mentioned some of the land-based writing mm-hmm. you're working on. Is that your main focus while you're here at UMBC? What do you have on the front burner?
I'm kind of working on the outline or a few chapters of a Nietzsche romance, a Native romance. It's kind of hard for me because I'm at this point in my life where men are fun but not required. I feel like a lot of women are going to be snapping their fingers. So I don't really necessarily believe in like this patriarchal view of one and one and happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
I think like one and many happily afters, right? So I'm trying to write a romance that brings in this idea of self-love as being more prevalent. Like you have to love yourself before you can be in a healthy place to love and be a safe place for others. So I think that's the main arc of our main character, but it's based in Saskatchewan, very Plains culture based, very powwow based. And it's just been fun to kind of like let go and write the kind of romances you always kind of want to see. And the characters you want to see, like there's definitely characters based off my auntie, who's kind of like a mean woman. I love you, auntie. but very truthful, very hurt your feelings for your own good kind of woman.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's just
important.
Totally. Yeah. It's important, but hard.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So we're just working on that. And it's just kind of me writing in my office for a few hours a day, just giggling because it's so joyful.
That sounds like you're having a really good time so far.
Yeah. Well, I spent the last few years working on my thesis and finishing my thesis, which is, you know, still good, fun work, but it's a very different way of thinking. And now I just get to like sit in the silly, happy feelings of like a first crush, I'll say. Yeah.
That sounds positively giddy.
Exactly. You like want to look at that phone and like wait for the text.
I really want to touch on the social media aspect of your inspiration and your work.
Yes.
We live in a world where the social media powers of the day, they're just so incredibly influential.
Yes.
How do you guide your relationship with that entity so that it remains healthy?
Oh, social media has kind of always been a huge part of how I express and connect, especially considering, like I said, I'm from northern Saskatchewan. We didn't even have cell service until I was like 20. Like, those are kind of real things, right? So it opened up a lot of doors in the north and in isolated communities like the one I come from. And so I'm always going to use it. I always want to reach home in a lot of ways. Politically, you know, we're kind of making choices to use the least harmful platform. You know, I'm on TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok. I'm there to creep. I have a Snapchat, but I don't post. It has such misogynistic beginnings that I'm not comfortable in that app and sharing on that app. You know, and same with Facebook. I'm only there because my elders are there. You know, grandma and grandpa are not going to learn a whole new social media platform just to stay in touch. So a lot of us stay there because our elders know how to use Facebook. And that's where they post like when they're going to bingo and what they ate for supper and what they're doing tonight. So there's that part of the connection that we have to take the evils with the good. And I think it's important. I wish there was a non-problematic social media entity that existed. And maybe there's variations. Like, I've heard good things about Blue Sky. I'm on there, but it's really hard to search right now. There's this thing called, I think, Pixel Fast or Pixel something that's...
Oh, Pixel Fed.
Yeah, very akin to early Instagram. But again, it's like building that community. It's really hard to navigate that right now. With Instagram as a business person, because Sweet Moon is a business, it's connection. You know, I have over 20,000 followers on there. And I would not have that kind of base if I did not post, if I did not engage, if I did not create community there. And, you know, how do we replicate that? How do we go somewhere safer for that? I don't have the answers yet, but I don't think for me, leaving the social media platforms is going to be good for my business or for how I want to share my work with those who don't have access to come and see me every day.
When your audience exists on a particular platform, you're going to engage with that. That's the most straightforward thing to do.
Yeah. And like, you can make the slow moves. Like I said, I do have a Blue Sky account and I am going to gravitate somewhere else because, creator help us.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm also going to be aware that it's work. Social media is work. Building your platform is work.
Yeah. In that regard, you mentioned, you know, you do critical research.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, what's a trigger for you for thinking, maybe I should know more about this before I start forming opinions or get totally sucked down the rabbit hole?
I think for me, it's usually, I understand that there's two sides to every story. And I understand, like, as someone who's pretty liberal and pretty open, that my newsfeed is actually going to be pretty liberal and pretty open and pretty anti-conservative. And when those come across, I'm like, okay, this sounds outrageous. Let's do some critical thinking. Like, let's look into this. Because we've all recently learned, like, the Trump administration did all those fake ads and fake bots in their programming, et cetera. Whatever, you guys look into it. And it's just this realization that AI and people will put out false information. Obviously, we know that. We know that. Or very one-sided information. And you just have to decide how you want to be. Like, I would rather know than be ignorant. I'd rather self-educate and do the research than pass along the wrong information to somebody, you know? And that's just who I am. And even if something turns out where I don't agree with it, but at least I'll understand it. And at least I'll understand why I don't agree with it. I'm not just going to go based off my feelings. Feelings are important, though.
Feelings are important. Yeah. Yeah.
Disclaimer, feelings are very important as a poet.
That's right. But backing up opinion with careful research is a factor also.
100%. Yeah. Like, we can disagree. Like, let's not trample on each other's fundamental rights. We can disagree, and that's fine. But I don't think we have to, like, put people down. I don't think we have to hate. Again, fundamental rights we should all have, though.
And that is, I would say, an important piece you just mentioned for both building and maintaining community.
Yeah, 100%.
Between people. Yeah. If we want to check out your beadwork, your photography, and your writing, where can we do this?
The best place to find me is Instagram. Like I said, I'm a social media elder at Sweet Moon Photo. And you can probably find me on Facebook at that as well, Sweet Moon Photography. And those are the two main places that I kind of hang out and post and talk smack about people in a loving way.
Thanks so much for spending time with me here in Seifer Studios, Tenille. Welcome to Prince George Clay Tenille. We're very happy to have you here. I hope both you and your daughter have a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I always have like this secret love for like radio booths. It's so great in here.
I'm sure myself and now many others who've listened to this interview will be stopping by your office.
Yes.
And Prince George.
So far it's been very welcoming and very fun.
Dene and Métis poet Tenille Campbell hails from English River First Nation with ties to Batoche, Duck Lake, and St. Louis, typically hanging her hat in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. She's visiting UMBC as a writer in residence with office hours Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 12, in the administration building, room 3023. You can look forward to attending one of her workshops during the Weaving Words Festival, or Ot Lo Noye Kuni, March 5th to 8th, 2025. This is Ian Gregg reporting for Seifer Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
GSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Invisibles and Disposables, Temporary Foreign Workers, Life and Rituals is an art exhibition by Luz Rosas and Carlos Colleen that premiered at Place des Arts in Coquitlam, BC on January 17, 2025. The exhibition aims to depict the life and experiences of temporary foreign workers, mainly from Mexico, during their time in British Columbia, using both photographs and cardboard produce boxes with text. Because the lives and experiences of temporary foreign workers are often underrepresented, according to the exhibiting artists, the goal of this exhibition was to make visible essential workers in our communities while finding new ways to collaborate and support them. This exhibition was created in collaboration with La Dignidad Migrante Society, a nonprofit organization based in Surrey, BC that is run entirely by temporary foreign workers. The goal of the organization is to provide an organizing voice for temporary foreign workers, particularly those in the agricultural sector. This organizing voice aims to help prevent abuse, exploitation, racism, and discrimination in the workplace of temporary foreign workers in BC. CJSF attended the exhibition's opening reception to meet with Luz Rosas and Carlos Colleen, who agreed to sit down for an interview with CJSF to discuss the goals and overall purpose of their exhibition. Later on in the interview, we also ask if there has been any sort of response from some of the temporary foreign workers who are photographed in the exhibition. Please take a listen.
So at some point we try through Dignidad Migrante to open new possibilities that people can be engaged about all these situations. And arts as a tool helps a lot. So it's also try to move these sometimes in that point of view as a just 100% political perspective. And that's why sometimes I believe that also people reject that idea of like, oh, I can get involved in what happened with the workers. But at some point, when you start finding others, other visibilities that you can support with, I think it's also important that exhibitions like this happen. And it happens with other communities in Canada, South Asians or Chinese, Japanese, but with Latin American workers is quite minimum. So I think it's a good also opportunity to open that window as well.
Another thing that really struck me with the exhibition too is that it wasn't just photographs. There was also those cardboard boxes that had text that were sort of in between. How did you decide, I guess, the way in which to go about that? That was something that I was curious about.
Well, it's a combination of two main things. One is I believe that Luz has one of the biggest archives about the migrant workers, not just in BC, but also in Canada. And every time that we talk, I tell her that, because I'm really proud that she was able to photograph them and being involved in that fashion, let's say. And it was useless for me as an artist too, just to do more photographs. There's no point. Like, you just like cop everything with images, and sometimes also you can lose track of what you really want to represent. So if we have this big visual position, I think for me, in talking about that part of the project with the boxes, is like bring information as well, right? So eventually you can make that contrast between this like leisure time that Luz tried to represent, comparing to, well, I mean, and also they suffer this. And I think it's a good counterposition. So the idea of the boxes is, the title is Below the Fruit. So it's more like imagining that process that they work 14, 15 hours a day, just like packing everything, put it in boxes, you know, like they deliver it to farmers markets or supermarkets. And then when people pick them up, automatically it's all the labor there, right, that we don't see. Mm-hmm. So eventually it's more that, I was thinking about that process, even for myself or even for us, when, you know, you have access to all these situations and you don't know exactly what happened behind it.
And I think it adds a lot too, because, you know, I guess this was my interpretation of it when I saw it, but, you know, in a lot of the photos that are presented, a lot of the you know, people and the families that are being photographed are smiling. They look happy. And I think what the boxes sort of represented was they're still familial. They're still happy. They're still striving despite this all. And there needs to be more done so that they can...
Yes, you got it right.
Yeah. You know, it exists in a way that's equitable and fair for everyone.
Because, just like to jump in fast, when you try to make also like too complicated artwork, like too conceptual, also you lose track of communication. And in this case, because I believe it's a strong political side, like when you try to be too conceptual and too poetic, also you lose that kind of sense. And I think that's why the show, personally speaking, works perfectly, because we were able to make that balance right, as you mentioned. You're right. Yep.
Just from, you know, this exhibition has been going on since January 17th now, since last Friday. What was the response like at the opening night, and what has it been so far?
Well, some of them there were impressed about what they told me, right? It's about the look in the eyes of the people in the portraits, the way that they look, because it's like they're looking at you. And so other ones, they were puzzled to see the different ages that are there for the people in the portraits. Some people was very excited with one particular picture about the bingo game, where everybody saw like having so much fun together, right? Which sometimes they can have a very stressful. Well, it's just more like they live in isolation, even though they live together, because sometimes the conditions that they live into may be too crowded, right? To have some kind of they're living together. They're sharing probably one bedroom. They're sharing. If they're lucky, maybe they have more like three refrigerators for all of them, so they cook for themselves. Some of them have to cook. Some they don't know. Everything is far away, right? Like everything is far away to go to the store. They depend on transportation provide, or some of them, I guess, they want to be longer. They know how to get a taxi altogether and maybe go. Everything is fast, right? Send money home. So when they manage to get to these points of where they can gather together and do something for themselves, and at the same time engage in a game activity, which, by the way, the game of the bingo too has information about the rights. So it's not just they learn to words, right? Like what is the contract, the permit. So it's a fun game, but at the same time it's a learning game. And I guess that at the same time too, when they have these gatherings, it really is like a way of psychologically be more peaceful and forget about whatever is around, and speaking freely in your language and joking in your language. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. You said that the version of bingo they're playing has specific details about workers' rights?
Yes.
That's so interesting.
Or the radio, or words that they that they use, like la farma, right, which is they call the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And it has you know, who's the el patrón, like the owner, or the foreman. So they in English and Spanish, so they can't they can relate and they can learn too.
Mm-hmm. Are you in contact with any of the people that are photographed as part of the exhibition? Have they said anything about the work that's been done?
Well, we have a WhatsApp with most of many of the women and the men too, and they're waiting for the link to the exhibition, which is going to be on the 24 February. It's going to be available through the places art gallery, where this is in Porco Quitlam. And so it's going to be online that they can have a virtual tour. So I guess all of them, it's hard for them to come to galleries, right? Because first of all, right now is the winter time, so most of them, they're not here. And the ones are here, some might be working in construction, but their times for working is just not, they don't check with the galleries, right? So I think they're very excited to see, they're waiting for that link to see it. Yeah, some of them, they know they're in the exhibition, and yeah, they're just very excited to see it.
Yeah, I think the link will be January, like next.
Yeah, the 24th.
Yeah, 24th
next Friday.
January, yes.
Next Friday, yeah.
And also adding something important that Lou says is that's one of the problems with arts, or what we understand about the art world, right? That usually it's very pretentious. And sometimes we create, or some people in the cultural realm, like create this kind of like a snobby and bourgeoisie like approach about arts. And that's why also, like, I believe it's not, I hope I say it properly again, but I always believe that these exhibitions are not specifically for the workers, because they know all the situations. Right, they're always welcome to come and see it and engage also in that cultural artistic perspective. But it's also, they know and they understand sometimes when we talk in Dignidad or with them in the events, it's like at the end it's like you need to drag the community, right? Or what we understand about this multicultural Canadian community to see, like, I mean, you know that these things happen, but you don't connect too much, right? So that's why that example with the bingo game, people look at it and it's like, it's strong because, I believe, because they're laughing and they're having fun. Sometimes even for you, not for you, but like for the community, it's hard to understand, like, if they suffer a lot, why they have also these things. And just to conclude, I believe, strongly believe that the idea of the exhibitions is also destroy that part of porn misery that sometimes we expect to see in these kind of situations, right? Mm-hmm. Through political lens or the war lens, like you always expect that kind of like dramatization of everything. And these kind of things also make up a different impact on you, and you start to more like connected in a different way. Or spread the voice, you know, like I don't expect that people eventually the next morning go to the farms and like, yeah, we want rides for our peers, and you know, because that's utopic in some ways. But for me also, the vision of these kind of situations is that, let's say you're gathering now that you came to the exhibition, and then when these kind of topics just like popped up in your conversation, then eventually you can add something, you know, like, oh, I went to this exhibition in Place de Arts where we saw these photographs about Dignidad Migrante, or do you know that also all these people unfortunately suffer discrimination, racism by the same government that we believe is a liberal, democratic, progressive perspective. It's like, it's all the same. At the end, it's politics behind. But when you brought it to your table and start having those conversations, I think the job is done in some ways.
Once again, you were just listening to our conversation with Luz Rosas and Carlos Colleen, the exhibiting artist for Invisible and Disposables, Temporary Foreign Workers, Life and Rituals. You can find their exhibition at Place des Arts in Coquitlam, BC. You can also learn more about the exhibition on the Place des Arts website, which is at placedesarts.ca. You can also learn more about La Dignidad Migrante Society, as well as the various ways to support the organization through their website, DignidadMigranteSociety.org. Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also listen to this piece on frequencynews.ca.